This is SR1.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, from the capital city of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Absolutely. Welcome back to another round, a December round kicking off the Christmas season in style. With my good friend, the conspirator himself, Mr. Michael, is with us today. Good to see you again, brother man.
Hello.
Hello, America.
I wish I could give you a little bit better than like a Michael Buffer, but that's okay.
Now, before we jumped on, you said that he actually has a podcast?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know what it's called, but I just heard it recently, and I think I'm going to have to go search it out.
Is it Let's Get Ready to Rumble?
You know, I would hope that one was available for him. I would imagine that if it wasn't, that maybe he could just tell him, hey, that's kind of my thing, that they would just give it to him. Or
that's
maybe just buy
trademarked.
Him a watch or something.
isn't that like trademarked? Isn't that phrase, Let's Get Ready to Rumble?
I think that if you or I were to do that and try to profit off of it, I think that he would probably have a way to take us out with it. So,
and didn't, again, this is not what I wanted to talk about in the first round, but anything goes here on Stand to Fight News Talk STL. Thank you for joining us again. If you miss any of this, any of the last rounds that we've done, find us on Rumble. Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And you were saying how Michael Buffer and Bruce Buffer, both big spokespeople for different sports, boxing, UFC, mixed martial arts, and they're brothers, but they didn't know that they were brothers, did they?
I have no idea. I didn't know that they didn't realize that.
I thought you were saying something about this weeks ago.
No.
It might have been Phil, but I think the story goes, from what I understand, now somebody can call in and call me a dumbass for getting this wrong, but I think that they were both given up for adoption.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that story's true, how they both have the last name Buffer. But it's my understanding they didn't know each other. They both got involved in their own little sports. And then after seeing each other on both of their genres, they came together and said, all right, well, we're masters at our craft.
Huh, that's weird. Kind of like, did you know that there are two Gallaghers?
What?
Yeah, Gallagher apparently.
I know there were like three Doinks.
Yeah, no, apparently Gallagher has a twin. And because he couldn't be multiple places, he just hired his brother. So then there was actually technically two Sledge-O-Matics.
I got to look this up.
Yeah, look it up. I've never actually cared enough to look it up. But yeah, somebody said that Gallagher had a twin. And that once he tried to, I guess, be the sole proprietor of the, you know, all of the money being made and all the merchandise and stuff, that his brother was like, hey, I'm putting in just as much work, so I have the same amount of claim as well.
Yeah, so looking at it here, there's Leo Gallagher, and then there's Ron Gallagher, who went off and did his own thing, promoting his own act as Gallagher 2, or T-O-O, or Gallagher 2, like the number 2. Well, listen in to Stay in the Fight, and you'll get anything from facts happening in the state of Missouri, facts happening worldwide. We were just in Arizona for the ALA convention, and that's one thing that we're going to talk about this round, is how much the Democrats love Alec. Is it Alec Baldwin?
I doubt it.
Or the American Legislative Exchange Council. Listen in, you'll find more conspiracies, and you'll find really, really cool, fascinating facts. Like, there were two Gallaghers. I know there were, like, several Saddam Husseins. Guarantee you there's several Bidens.
Yeah, there are definitely more than one. But
there's only one Trump.
Do you think that there are enough stupid people out there that could be an exact match to Biden, though? I always wonder, nobody else could be that dumb, and yet there's more than one dumb Biden out there.
But how, I mean, if you're Biden number 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, if you're the guy that they just bring in, what do they tell you? Just, dude, act stupid. Just act incoherent.
Hey, stand behind this car, go right to the tailpipe, take a couple big whiffs, and then go out there and try to do a speech.
Well, did you hear him this week? There was I'm going to try to find the clip, but he went to like this big factory. And he goes up to this guy, and the audio on this clip is horrible. But he goes up to this guy, starts talking about how he's got a military guy who carries around the codes that could blow up the world.
This is Nick. Hey, Nick. Hey, this is Nick Rehardy. Now, look, my Marine carries that. It has a code to blow up the world. That doesn't. This is not nuclear weapons, is it? All right, okay.
What the hell is that?
You're the president. You don't even know. What is it? It was the nuclear football. Isn't that what they typically call it?
And but he's just going up to random folks.
Hey, man, I got something Nick. To blow up the world.
What's that in your hands? My guy carries around. This is like a factory worker with a massive beard. And he's like, you got the nuclear codes there? Gosh, damn. Like, we are in dire straits. And then he comes out and can't even read the teleprompter. I think this is the same exact day, like right after he talks to Nick, not me, but he goes out and ruins the speech.
Instead of cutting him, or like Congressman Trump and Bob would want to do.
You hear that?
No, I didn't.
Listen to the title of Trump.
Instead of cutting him, or like Congressman Trump and Bob would want to do.
Congressman
Trump and Boebert want to do.
Oh my gosh.
This is the guy. But then again, he said this not too long ago.
You turn on the television, and there's not a whole lot about boy saves dog as he swims in the lake, you know, to say, you know, it's about, you know, somebody pushed the dog in the lake. I mean, I get it, but.
There it is. Zooms
that,
off.
That blank stare.
If you.
I mean, you're a big Stephen King fan. That breath, that guttural breath.
Oh, man. That's like a death rattle almost.
Yeah. Holy cow. But I'll tell you what. Okay, let's give him. I think I got one more here from. I got one more from Biden, but we're going to save that for a little bit later. On the topic of Biden, I do want to go back to what's happening before we dial it back to what's been going on in Missouri, because December 1st kicked off pre-filing. And I think there's over 500 something pre-filed bills just in the Senate alone. You add in what was done in the House, and I think it's an astronomical number. Is that good? Is that bad? We're going to get into it, and we're going to get into a couple of the bills that I've pre-filed, and I'm going to open it up and blindly look at what some of these bills are from Republicans and Democrats. But this week, something happened that a lot of Republicans wanted to get to for a long time now, and that's the impeachment of Biden. Here is the Speaker, the new Speaker Johnson. I think this is the 29th, right before the end of the month, some big news came out from his office.
Thank you all for being here. These are serious times, and this is a very serious matter. And I've said many times over the last few years, because impeachment has been an issue that we've all become all too familiar with.
Well, let me pause this real quick, because there were some rumors going around that Speaker Johnson didn't want to impeach Biden, that he actually was misquoted. And this is where the fake news comes in. This is where some of the people say, "Yo, look, AI is dangerous," because there were clips on social media everywhere that were going around saying there's not enough facts to impeach him. We're just going to lay off on it. This puts it to rest and actually shows you, kind of like what I dealt with the whole allegations of book burning. 30 million people continue to listen to this crap and spread this fake news, just like they did with the Speaker Johnson allegations that he did not want to impeach Biden right after he gets the speakership. Let's go back to his press conference.
Next to the declaration of war, you can make an argument that impeachment may be the heaviest power that Congress holds. That constitutional responsibility lies with the House. We have a duty to pursue the facts where they lead. John Adams famously said, "Facts are stubborn things," and you heard a recitation of that here this morning. These facts are alarming. They're alarming to the American people. They're alarming to us. And so while we take no pleasure in the proceedings here, we have a responsibility to do it. We're very proud of the work of these three chairmen that you've seen here, Chairman Comer and Jordan and Smith. They've done an exceptional job in uncovering the obvious corruption. And you've heard it here summarized this morning very succinctly. President Biden and the Biden family. We owe it to the American people to continue this process, but to do it methodically and transparently. Many of you know I was on, I'm a lawyer, I'm a constitutional law attorney. I served on President Trump's impeachment defense team twice. And we lamented openly and we decried how the Democrats politicized that process. They were brazenly political in how they brought those meritless impeachment charges against the president. This, what you're seeing here, is exactly the opposite. We are the rule of law team. The Republican Party stands for the rule of law. And the people in charge of this are doing this thoroughly. Carefully, methodically, they're investigating and gathering all the facts. And to do
let me pause it right there. Were you one of the ones that, like me, heard the initial allegations that this new speaker comes in, unanimously voted by the Republican Party, and the allegations were, no, he's pumping the brakes, he's saying there's not enough evidence?
Yeah, I heard that that there wasn't enough evidence, so they weren't going to, I guess, pursue their was it the articles of impeachment? Now were the articles of impeachment, was that just to look into any evidence to see if it an impeachment was warranted? Is that what the beginning stages was?
Well, yeah.
That?
Ultimately, I think those proceedings have already started.
Yeah,
they've already taken the vote to say, all right, should we open this up? Yeah, let's do that. Again, I could be mistaken because it's been a long haul.
Yeah,
I remember months ago when I think it was. Another representative brought forth these, I think it was Luna, Congresswoman Luna. I think she brought forth the impeachment articles. I heard that they were passed. And then when the ultimate proceedings got initiated, I was like, "What? Didn't we already do this?"
Yeah.
So I firmly believe that that process has already started. I think they served subpoenas on Hunter Biden here recently.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to hear back. Again, I was out of the state at this ALEC conference, which we're going to dig into here in the next couple of rounds. But yeah, I was shocked when all of a sudden you hear these statements purported to be from him, purported to be from this new speaker who we heard was going to go after Biden. All of a sudden he's with, after I think he endorsed Trump, and then all of a sudden he's down in Mar-a-Lago, and then this press conference comes out. And to me, it didn't set right because, again, is this a move to torpedo his leadership? I don't know. So what was your reaction when you heard, you know, that number one, he allegedly said that? And were you surprised when this came out this week, this past week, if you've seen this, where they said, yeah, this is heating up and it's not looking good for the president?
Yeah, I almost felt like I was on a different timeline because I was just like, wait a minute. They just said that they didn't have sufficient evidence. And then I heard Byron on there talking about, they're creating a website. I think it was Byron that said that. They were creating a website. It was like a one-stop shop. Or actually, I take that back. It was a woman that was speaking to that. Different rant by, you know, Byron just pointed out all of the obvious crimes that Biden had done. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, well, if there is all of this evidence and they have receipts, they have all the bank records, they have all the people that are involved, they have timelines of all this stuff. Trump got impeached one time because he just made a phone call.
A phone
call to somebody that honestly should have, you know, I guess kind of filled him in on some of his, I guess, the overseas dealings that Biden was doing anyway, back when he was vice president, even before that. But whenever Trump just made that one phone call, just checking in, and they said, oh, he's doing this against his political opponent. Trump has, what, 90-something indictments, and he's being tried in civil lawsuit after civil lawsuit.
As Kamala would say, I've lost count.
Yeah. Has she lost count of how many times she's been to the southern border?
Well, hey, I was closer to the southern border in Scottsdale and in Phoenix than she was. Now, at one point, when I was taking a picture, I did see an air balloon pop up. And I tried to zoom in. The camera's not real good on the phone. It could have been Kamala. So if it was her, then I'm... you know, misguided here, but yeah, I believe she went to the Taco Bell in Washington, D.C., and that's as close to the southern border she's gotten.
Yeah, the supposed border czar.
The border czar.
Yeah, and yet, here we are. No, it's weird that they say czar, because isn't that like...
That's always said it's weird.
Russia, isn't it? Why are they using Russian terms? I thought Russia was the bad guy.
I thought that Republicans were the Nazis, but yet we're going to be covering some of what happened at the Christmas tree lighting in New York, where there was finally an American flag scene.
Oh, finally.
Finally, we're going to tell you what happened to that. And there was also a swastika in the crowd, on a big piece of paper. We're going to compare what happened to both of those and see how that sits with you. I've been told by Democrats in the Missouri House, the Missouri Senate, the trolls on social media that the Republicans are the Nazis. But I think the story is going to take a little bit weird turn when we cover what's happening in New York. So here's that other clip I was saving. You had Gavin Newsom cleaning up the streets, not for the people that he serves, not for the community, but for the Chinese dictator, Xi Jinping. And this is what Joe Biden is referring to him as in this latest clip.
I said this, and I said this to Deng Xiaoping in the Himalayas, and I've said this to every world leader.
Did you catch that one? For those that didn't.
Sure that, was that his uncle, maybe?
It might have been. I mean, he might have been there, too. Let's hear it.
I've said this, and I said this to Deng Xiaoping in the
Deng
Himalayas.
Deng Xiaoping? Is that what he said?
Deng Xiaoping. Like, how is that? If Trump would have ever said any of that,
oh yeah,
you would have heard racism, xenophobia, transphobia, all the phobics, all the isms would have been thrown out. But stick with us as we are going to be back here on News Talk STL, SR1 Sunday. Stand and fight. Nick Schroer, Eric Michael. Don't go anywhere.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
Watch your back, it's a white boy summer. Whole iPhone full of white boy gunners. We all come up from the bottom like the pipes in the gutter. Got the shotgun going bum, 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 bum. Call me white trash, white boy, I kinda like that. If you got a problem, you can come and kiss my white ass. I don't really care what I'm allowed to do.
This is one of the St. Charles County homes where these three men are accused of assaulting, torturing, and holding a 20-year-old man captive in the basement for months.
It always seemed like the house was abandoned. You know, like, you know, there's never anybody there that you can tell.
The house on Highway D is right next door to a daycare center and down the street from the Double D Market and gas station in Defiance.
Yeah, I think it's crazy because I would never think anything like that would happen out here.
Chris Duell is a clerk at the gas station. He says in the past week, the male victim came to their business a couple of times.
He was skinny, looked like he hadn't been fed in over a year almost.
Duell says he and his co-workers gave the man free food. A few days later, he returned.
He looked calm, but a little scared. He had a bloodshot eye. I believe he drove up here.
Duell tells me the victim came inside their store on Saturday night. He says he walked in, bought a sandwich, and then left. He also says the man was by himself.
Welcome back to round two here on Stand and Fight, News Talk STL, SR1 Sundays. I'm Nick Schroer, joined by the one, the only, the Michael himself, Eric Michael. And I don't know if you heard about that before I brought that to your attention tonight, of this human trafficking issue happening just minutes from our house in Defiance.
Yeah, when it starts hitting close to home, that's when it makes you feel almost like if somebody broke into your house, you lose that feeling of safety. Like, right, this is your safe space. When that kind of stuff, something so terrifying to, that's always been like everybody, well, I wouldn't say everybody's worst fears, but you know, when you talk to people, like, what's your biggest fears? And that's like one of the most common ones. And to hear that kind of stuff is happening so close to home, I mean, that's terrifying.
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard the stories that I've shared. I know I talked to Joe Brazel about this, and we're going to get into how St. Charles County has been trying to combat some of this craziness happening with human trafficking, illegal immigration. But I talked to Joe about things that have been brought to my attention from Wentzville Walmarts, Troy Walmarts, O'Fallon, Lake St. Louis, like, there are these situations where constituents are contacting me saying, yeah, I almost found myself in a human trafficking incident. And the first couple times you hear about it, you're like, okay, were you on some of those recreational marijuana gummies? No. This is what was happening. Are you blowing it out of proportion? No. And it seems to have the same type of story where, you know, you have these individuals that are following single women through the store, asking them weird questions. They don't have anything in their carts. And they ended up, and you can see it on social media too, these are shared throughout the nation, where it's like they're recreating the same game plan, coming after these single women with kids. And we even saw, and we shared this from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch shared this video from just a couple weeks ago, where this woman walking across the sidewalk, was a crosswalk, individual with a hood on, tried to take her kid out of her arms. And that happened in the city of St. Louis. Now we have this crap happening in St. Charles County, it scares the crap out of me. And now you have, to me, like you said, it puts us into perspective because it's so close to home. You have individuals coming out of the southern border that are on the terror watch list. Now we're hearing, and we're going to show some reports later, of individuals that are coming out of the northern border, coming through Canada now, that are getting apprehended. And I'm not just talking about that car that exploded, which there's a lot of weird stories going on there. We can talk about that later, because I know you probably have heard more than I have. But the scariest part is, it's happening so close to home, human trafficking. And Phil, when he just walked in, he shared a story that just came to his attention about the one, the only, the nature boy, Ric Flair.
Child traffickers.
Yeah.
And you ended up being adopted. Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you found out that this was your adopted parents and not your biological parents?
I think they told me when I was like 5.
Did you ever seek out your...
No.
So you don't know if you have brothers, sisters?
No, I don't. As recently, it's funny that a guy, how many years ago was that, Wendy? This is 6 years ago, somebody reached out. My brother, my real name would be Fred Phillips.
Right.
And my brother reached out to me. I didn't have any interest.
Really?
You know, probably want to borrow money.
Borrow money, he says. to me, that's weird. Like, again, that hits close to home, because that's a guy who, wrestling at the Chase, St. Louis, he was famous, and everybody knows, woo, Ric Flair, the nature boy, but nobody knew that he was part of a human trafficking incident. He was kidnapped by these child traffickers, and now we've got people getting put into slave labor. To think that slavery, to think that trafficking is still happening in the world is crazy. To think that it's happening in America, and we were told about this during that one movie that came out. I forget the name of it right now. Off of Lionsgate.
It was The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah. That is it. So when that came out, you had all the Democrats, no, this really isn't happening. And people like Josh Hawley said, no, it is. And it's prevalent in America. And the news came out this week that it's happening in St. Charles County. Blew me away.
Yeah.
And, you know, these stories, it really puts it into perspective. When you hear the leadership in St. Charles County, the county council, trying to just take a stand. And I don't know if you caught the show that we had Joe Brazel on, but that was actually voted down. There was one member who had knee surgery, and it was flaring up. He couldn't get to the county council in time. The way that was written, and I helped write that thing, the way that it was written, it just kind of laid out the exact issues of this parole program that were expanded under this knucklehead Mayorkas. The Biden administration broke the law in expanding this program that was typically never used in these incidents of catch and release. But now it's being used on the daily. There are allegations that there's no vetting occurring whatsoever. They're just putting them in places like Chicago, which the mayor of St. Louis says, all right, bring them here. Just bring them here. They're with this program. And now you have St. Charles County trying to take a stand. Certain naysayers are saying, well, this is St. Charles County. It's not St. Louis. Or St. Louis City, for that matter, what would a resolution do? Well, back during the Better Together, the joinder movement of St. Louis County and St. Louis City, St. Charles County actually passed a resolution saying, nope, not good for business, not good for the region, not going to do it. The same exact type of legislative maneuver was being used here, a resolution just voicing the opinion of the people of St. Charles County. And now that crime we've seen spreading is going to get even larger. And now we have the human trafficking issues. Now we have what's happening in Germany, in France, in Ireland, of people being beheaded, murdered. Even I think in Spain, people are taking a stand.
Yeah, they're getting stabbed. They're getting murdered. They're getting raped, kidnapped, trafficked. You know, you're taking this group of people and you're putting them in a place where they don't have the same, you know, ideological, you know, points of view, way of living. And you're expecting them to just integrate into these societies where it's like oil and water. They're not going to get along. You know, you have people that have learned how to coexist, and now you're putting all these people in there that believe that they are superior in the way they think, the way they live. And it's just, it's violent. And you're trying to take away their rights to then protect themselves, to speak out, you know, and make it like you're being racist or some kind of phobia just because you're saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't good for our area, our community. And like you said, they're not even vetting them.
Yeah.
So you don't know who your neighbor is now. And right there at D and Double D, now you got these people that are kidnapping and torturing people.
Yeah.
Just, and they didn't, it's not like they took them from one place and then transported to a completely different, they just, they're like, oh yeah, we always thought that house was abandoned.
Well, so, again, this instance here, you had Indian nationals coming over, and again, it's a vetting process, and it's just like this resolution in St. Charles County literally said in the black letter of the law, it said, we support legal immigration. When we say that this, these three Indians that had one of their nephews come over, that they put in a basement, beat the crap out of him, tortured him, and put him into slave labor, we're not saying all Indians are bad.
No, absolutely not.
We're not saying all cops are bad. We're not saying all attorneys or politicians are bad when we criticize them. But the Democrats will use this, like Rahm Emanuel said, let no tragedy go to waste. The Democrats will try to say it's racism. When Conor McGregor is coming out saying, okay, we've had enough. Putting the illegal immigrants in these high-rises, in these Hiltons, in these big hotels that even our people can't afford, you're giving them free health care while we're actually working our ass off to pay for them to be there.
Right.
Now when our women are beheaded, our children are stabbed, enough is enough. And what happened to him? Now you have the government, the liberal government, going after him saying it's hate speech.
Yeah.
How is it hate speech to say, no, wait a second, we got to vet these people? Because I know a very good amount of American citizens that came from India that went through the legal process. And I didn't plan on talking about this, but there's a pastor coming back from Arizona, taking Uber. I get a guy who, you know, we don't talk for the first 10 minutes or so. And he asks me, I never throw it out there unless somebody asks me, oh, well, what do you do for work? Well, I'm a politician. And those, to me, that's a fighting word. That's a slur if someone's going to call me that.
Right.
Well, why do you say that? And I said, well, you know, I'm a senator for St. Charles County. The guy was ecstatic. He came from Kenya. He's been here 27 years. He's got two kids that have graduated. One's going into the Navy. And he was discussing, he had no idea what side of the aisle I was on. And he was discussing how terrified he is that this country, before his very eyes, is becoming worse off than the country he left. And he was even talking about Uganda. He said, in Uganda, you have a culture and a political leadership that's going after the LGBTQ community. And now the Biden community, or the Biden administration's fighting back, basically drawing a line in the sand, making it like these are fighting words that you're going after people in your country, saying it's against your culture, and how crazy the left has become. I mean, he even said, look, this illegal immigration that's happening is counter to what he fought for, counter to what his family came here for. It saddens him. And this guy is one of the most incredible Americans, probably has more American pride than these pricks that are going to go off in the streets and burn flags. Like here's a clip here that I was going to play from the tree lighting ceremony in New York. This is the Rockefeller Center. An American flag finally makes it to one of these pro-Hamas festivals.
You're in America right now, you know that, right? You hate America, but you stay here and you live here. Why?
You're not American.
Why don't you go to Iraq? Why don't you go to Iraq?
Why you put off, you whore?
Why you putting that off?
They hate America.
They hate them.
They hate them.
Deport. Deport this.
Look at this piece of shit.
So they're taking the flag out of his hands. They crumble it up, take it away. The pro-Palestinian individuals that are, they have the Palestinian flag, but not the American flag. When you look at the pro-Israel rallies that happen here on our soil, it's coupled with an American flag. Now, without getting into the details of what's happening overseas, because you can always hear conflicting stories, and they're all horrific. But at this tree lighting ceremony, this is to celebrate the birth of Christ. This is to go out and signify this is the start of the Christmas season. I was there just several years ago. Incredibly peaceful. Police everywhere. But boy, have the times changed, because now you have these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters even bitching about the lighting of a Christmas tree. Just like they were griping at the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade, gluing their hands to the streets, to the concrete. Here, any individual that's going to glue their hands to an oil painting or to a car or to a friggin' concrete street, you've got some mental issues. But yeah. These are the same knucklehead, just weird individuals that still believe, look, we can glue our hands to the concrete street. We can pour menstrual blood all over ourselves to protest climate change. And we can allow these little kids to go in the locker rooms with the opposite sex and then chop off their genitals later. This is the Democrat Party for you today.
None of it makes any sense. When
make it make sense.
You can't. When you go through the process of becoming a United States citizen, you have to take, like, you're going to school.
Yeah.
You have to take the tests. And from what I hear, the tests are very intense. You have to know everything about the history, what it means to be an American, and it gives you the full representation of this is what it means to be an American.
Yeah.
America is the last bastion of freedom, and now you're integrating all of these countries, and what it's doing is it's diluting that sense of pride of what it means to be an American. It's not just white people. It's not just this, you know, this color, this race. It's everybody. Everybody that came here because they were leaving, you know, being oppressed or not having the freedoms, you know, from other places in the country, they are coming here because they're looking for that freedom. And now they're just diluting it to the point where they're going to be able to take away our rights that we are fighting so hard to you know, conserve. But it's almost like they just don't even care anymore.
Well, it saddens me because just like this pastor that I was in the car with, he is upset with what is happening with our country. And he even said, words out of his mouth, not mine, if we don't start fighting back, if we don't start standing up and getting loud, we are not going to last many more years. But we've got a couple more rounds we're going to last here on this December kickoff. SR1 Sunday's Newstalk STL, Stand and Fight. We'll be back.
Sundays. Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
On a school night.
Germany is under attack. The German population under attack. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen a 15-year-old German girl brutally murdered and raped by Afghani migrants. In this town, we've seen a 16-year-old child have his face slit open by Syrian migrants. The people have had enough, and I think you're witnessing the start of something huge that's going to develop across Germany this summer. Angela Merkel has invited millions of young Muslim men who come from countries where there are no women's rights. They do not respect women. This is the real Me Too movement.
There were several attacks with knives from young migrants against Germans, but perhaps more important is that the atmosphere has changed.
Welcome back to Stand and Fight, round three. Phil, ring the bell, and let's get it on. This is something that has been spreading around the globe. I am Nick Schroer, joined by Eric Michael. We've been discussing what illegal immigration, what the transition of an American pride type of country into a no holds barred, border open, 100%. Mayorkas, the Biden administration, the border czar herself, Kamala Harris, are running rampant and allowing this type of madness that's happening in Germany, in France. We talked about the stabbings that have been happening in France. And how does the media react? Well, you can't talk about what the stabber said. What the violent criminal said is, I'm searching for white people to stab. You can't talk about what's happening in Ireland, where people are being beheaded and stabbed. Why not? That's my question. Why can't we discuss what's happening in the world? I thought that's what the news does. So, like Metallica says, am I evil? Well, I guess if pointing out facts, then yes, I am.
If people move from one state to the next, we always try to tell them, well, don't, if you left there, it's because you didn't like it there. Don't take your voting history and just keep voting like that into another state, yeah. Right? What happens if you take countries where you know, hey, it's over in Afghanistan. We've been at war over there for, what, 20 years because we know what kind of people and the kind of, you know, mindset that these people have in these regions. And then what? You're going to take and let these people just spread out the entire world? What do you think is going to happen
What happens in these far, and I want to say like extreme Islam countries where you have LGBT communities? Well, you don't have those communities.
I've actually, and it's kind of sad. It's sick. I was on X. I know I stopped
like
saying Twitter. No, I stopped saying Twitter. Well, I'll just keep calling it Twitter because it sounds weird saying X. But they're showing videos of saying like, okay, well, all of these like gays and trans for Palestine and all this, and they think that they're, you know, that they're trying to help out. Hey, we're all the same kind of people. We can all get along. But then you see videos, and I saw a video, and at first I was saying, well, what's going on? Oh, they were taking gay people and throwing them
off the roof.
Throwing them off of a roof. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I tried to like get it off my screen, and it's
well, what happens to women's haunting. Rights in these countries also?
There are no women's rights. You've seen photos of what Syria or Iran or Iraq looked like, even in Afghanistan. What it looked like back in like 1970. You're talking like, what, 40, 50, well, it's about 50 years now, right? You're talking 50 years ago. These women are walking around, you know, dressed like they're
like Americans.
Yeah, well, you know, even if you wouldn't say American, but they're dressed to where you can tell they're fully integrated in society. Mm-hmm. They're walking around free. They look happy. You know, hair's done up, wearing, you know, clothes, not like they're completely covered. You know,
good job.
Right. And now you look at them, and they don't even have the right to speak. And if they speak out, they literally can have their noses cut off. They can have their ears cut off. They can take their disobedient daughter to like town center and literally stone them just because they didn't agree with it.
But why are we not hearing these stories? Like we've been covering from the stabbings in France, the stabbings in Ireland, the stabbings in Germany, like we just uncovered, or what's happening in Spain. Why don't you hear this on the nightly news? But you hear that Republicans are bad. The mainstream media has done a great job peddling for the Democrats and not actually helping the American way of life. And I know you just said it here. We tell people all the time, look, if you're fleeing Illinois, if you're fleeing California, if you're fleeing these liberal bastions, don't bring your voting rights, the same vote or the
voting habits.
Habits. That got you into this mess. Start opening your eyes and seeing that you're voting for these extremists. Geert Wilders, the new Netherlands, could be the new prime minister, had this to say.
I believe there are two things that Americans should do. First, learn your lessons from Europe. Learn your lessons for Europe. Islam already arrived at America. But it's just, don't think it's a long way before you become the second Europe. Islam will conquer before you know it. Be resilient. Stand up and fight for your freedom. Whoa! And against Islam.
Stand and fight from Geert Wilders.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he was such a big fan.
I guess he tunes in every week, Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. here on Newstalk STL. Find us anywhere podcasts are found. Rumble right after the show airs. But Geert Wilders saying common sense, and that's where I think people like him and the new head of Argentina and all of these what the media is calling right-wing extremists, when they're just pointing out the facts.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Common sense. You asked why aren't they talking about it? And that's because they don't want people to talk about it. They're putting this is all a game of chess. They're putting these people strategically in all of these areas because I believe that what's going to end up happening is you're going to have all these like race riots. I've been listening to Sam Tripoli on his podcast even, and he's been alluding to this before. It's been done before. He's very accurate with the history lesson there. And if we don't know our history, then we're just doomed to repeat it.
I agree.
Yeah, and if you come to America, you have to understand how people do things in America. There's that saying, when in Rome. Mm-hmm. You know that when you travel to another country, Michael Faye found out when he went to, you remember him from Singapore? He went and sprayed, you know, graffiti, and he got caned.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, you don't do that here. You play those games, these are your prizes. So when you're going to all of these other places, you abide by the laws that are there.
But
now,
why is America suddenly saying, hey, you know what, come here, we'll take you, whether we vet you or not, and you can call us bastards, and you can have us change our ways, and you can even kill our women. and go after our children and even put people into slave labor.
Yeah, they are eroding what it means to have your freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Now they're labeling everything as hate speech. Once you start putting asterisks on our amendments, they're going to be able to then label something, and then whatever doesn't fit their agenda, whatever goes against their narrative, they'll all of a sudden start labeling that as you can't do this, you can't say that. They're going after our right to protect ourselves. Why do you think they're doing that? Look what's happening over in that. He just said it. Let Europe be your example. If you can't be a role model, you have to serve as a warning.
Well, let them be your example, because look at what happened with Germany. After Nazi World War II, what did the new leadership have to say? They opened up their gates. They opened up and let everybody in. And here recently, we've started seeing not only in Germany, but all over these other European countries having the same mindset of, yeah, just come on in. We really don't have a border. And now we're seeing those countries coming under fire because they're having all of these different incidents. And it's the same thing repeating over and over and over again. It's these extremists that are trying to force their extreme ideology, their hatred, onto those people. One of those individuals was Conor McGregor. Here's what our friend Ben Shapiro had to say.
Conor McGregor is now under investigation by the Irish police. Why? Well, he tweeted out that maybe mass migration isn't the world's best idea. And this is the verboten thing. You are not allowed to say this in Europe, or you might be elected prime minister of the Netherlands. Because the reality is that in Europe, Europeans are beginning to realize that importing millions of people who hate your civilization might not be the world's best idea, particularly when you have an open social welfare state, which also bankrupts your country. You can try to silence people like Conor McGregor. You can try to claim that they're just being xenophobic and awful. But that isn't actually what's going on. It turns out that diversity is our strength. That only holds when there is a common goal, wherein everybody is oriented in the same direction. It does not hold at all when you are basically incentivizing people to move within your borders, take welfare dollars, and then to ignore all of your values and, in fact, to undermine your values, which, again, is why Geert Wilders just won first place in the latest election in the Netherlands.
Geert Wilders. So what was that rift between Shapiro and Candace Owens? Because I really wasn't paying attention to it.
I didn't hear too much about that. It was a very quick.
Yeah.
But she was just on, I think it was just on Twitter. She was talking, she just posted like a Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And Ben Shapiro, I guess, didn't like that she was quoting scripture and said that if this is getting in the way.
Well, and she was kind of critical of Israel's handling of the entire situation, from what I was told.
Yeah, and I mean, but that right there lets you know we have the freedom of speech, which means that we can have differing thoughts. Yes, we're all wanting peace. We're all wanting the bad guys to be taken out. But can we at least, like we were talking earlier with vetting these people, we can't assume that every single person in this region is bad. Can we stop and just take a look and make sure that we're not just killing innocent, you know, men, women, children, just because they might have, you know, the same geographical, you know, locations that some of the enemies are. So I don't know if it was maybe just because she spoke out, and I don't know exactly what she said, so I can't really say it's because of this, but I do know that we have to be careful on trying to go out and cancel people just 100%. Because they have a differing point of view. I like that we have differing points of view. I think it's incredibly dangerous for one side to assume that they are always right. Checks and balances means that we have to test and verify what we're saying. Does it hold up? Do you have enough evidence to support these claims?
Well, and that's where I like the freedom of speech, because even I've been one that has said when I was in the Missouri House, in the Missouri Senate, that look, if I'm wrong, bring me some facts, bring me some evidence, because I want freedom of speech. I want all of this discussion to be out in the open and not turn into mudslinging and name calling. And when you follow me on social media, you'll understand if we're having a dialogue, if we're having a conversation back and forth, which very few often, you know, it doesn't happen as much as it used to, because it automatically just goes into, well, you're a Nazi, you're a this or that, and then it just gets shut down. But that's where, look, you know, open-mindedness. That is a way of the past, I think. Like having people that have an open mind on what's happening in Israel and Gaza, having an open mind on what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. You have so many people that say, you question what's going on? You question that we should be sending billions of dollars over there? Well, you're pro-Russia. You're pro-Hamas, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I've said, look, let's take care of our people first.
Yeah.
When we have a border where I'm about to play is happening, that's where the red flags are going off. when we're sending billions of dollars to other nations and our own people are getting screwed, red flags.
Border Patrol agents nabbed 20 Romanian citizens crossing into Maine on Tuesday, two of them with ties to organized crime, raising new concerns about national security along our northern border with Canada. Correspondent Jillian Turner joins me live here in Washington with more on that. And this is a really interesting story.
It is. And the northern border seems to be heating up. This is what we're learning from Border Patrol, Kevin. So what happened on Tuesday is that a group of 20 Romanian nationals were picked up after crossing into the U.S. illegally through the Canadian border. It turns out that, according to law enforcement, two of those people actually have known ties to organized crime. Border Patrol agents apprehended the group in northeast Maine, just along the U.S.-Canadian border. 10 adults, 10 children, most of them family members.
Wait a second. This is happening now in Canada, eh? Like, how often do you see, and we've been hearing about it more often now, where they're infiltrating us from both sides. Typically, it was the southern border, and you're called racist if you want to protect our border because you don't like Hispanics. It's like, wait a second. Hispanics are a small fraction of the individuals that are coming over. We're looking at the military-age men from China, from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Iran, from Iraq. And by the way, you know what's happening with Iraq right now? They're infiltrating our water systems. I don't know if this has been something that you've just heard, but hear for yourself.
A new bulletin tonight amid this Israeli war. Tonight, there is new concern that Iranian-backed hackers might have targeted the water supply system near Pittsburgh. The ominous message sent about using equipment made by Israel. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, now.
Tonight, evidence that hackers with ties to Iran may be testing the American infrastructure for vulnerabilities. Officials at a small water utility site in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, noticed Friday night that a computer that helps control water pressure for two townships was malfunctioning. When they rebooted the system, this ominous message, highlighted in red, appeared on the screen, saying,
it says, you are hacked. You are hacked. So, if Iran's going to hack you, and they're just going to test the waters of some, like, pressure valves, do you think that's... Okay. You think they're just going to put a thing, you are hacked, you've been punked.
Right.
And won't they go big? Like, if you're going to open that gate where it's like, all right, you know it's us.
Yeah.
We're just screwing around.
Like, it's kind of like that, you got me.
That Chinese spy balloon. Like, yeah, I question it. It's like, if you're spying on all of us, wouldn't we have shot that damn thing down?
Yeah, they said they didn't shoot it down because they didn't want it to fall and hurt anybody. And yet they knew it was coming over like, Big Sky Country and all that, you know, up north. They could have easily shot it down. The worst it would have done is maybe, you know, I don't know, hit a moose or something. It's fishy.
We're going to be shooting down a lot of things this next round as we're going to dig into, is this the truth? Is Iran really hacking into our system? Should we be afraid? Is this a false flag? And what the hell is happening in the Missouri Senate? We're going to cover that and so much more in round 4, 5, and 6 here on News Talk STL. So on Sundays, stick with us.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer. SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
Welcome back to another round here on Stand and Fight. We are two pissed off straight white American loving males here. Nick Schroer and Eric Michael on. Whatever round is this? 4?
I think it's 4. I think it's 4, yeah.
We think it's 4.
Oh, we've a lot of fighting tonight. It's
where are the
to fact
checkers? Where are the fact checkers when you need them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
did you see
the Elon Musk thing?
I did. Love it. Which one, though? The actual, like, was it the Epoch Times little thing they were doing? Or are you talking about the Regis Philbin?
No, okay. So the Regis Philbin one was hilarious. for those that don't know, and there's some scary crap that's happening right now, which we're going to get into, but let's pump the brakes because, again, what the pastor told me on the way back, the guy from Kenya, who we've got to go out to his church. He's got a church. I'm not going to say it on air because I don't want him to be canceled, but he even knows the guy. Have you ever watched Machine Gun Preacher, the movie with Gerard Butler? There was a like a hitman for a biker gang. It was a bad dude. Gets sent to jail or prison, whatever. One of the two comes out, ends up finding God while he's incarcerated. Tries to go back to his old ways, knows that's not the right way, joins a church, ends up becoming a pastor at the church, goes on mission trips over in Africa, and finds out as they're trying to build schools and churches, there's these tribes that are attacking and stealing kids, and they've got guns. Well, he's got bigger guns, and he brought them back. So he knows that pastor, so hopefully we can...
Cool.
But the Elon Musk thing, before I forget, yeah, it's we got to play it. Phil, you're going to have to get the bleep button ready, but this is basically the mantra of this show, the mantra of where we need to go. If you want to try to cancel us for our beliefs, if you want to try to blackmail us with money, with whatever it may be, listen to Elon.
Apology tour, if you will. That this had been said online. There was all of the criticism. There was advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger today.
I hope they stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go f*** yourself.
But
go f*** yourself. Is that clear?
It's loud and clear, because that's what we've been saying with our movement, with our conservative movement. Look, if you're the Republican Party, if you're the Democrat Party, I don't care what party you are, what person you are, what sex, what race, what nationality, if you are going to try to do bad crap and put my family, my constitutional rights at risk, listen to Elon.
I do have a question.
If GFY.
If you use corporations to go and target adversaries for having a different point of view and canceling them, isn't that fascism?
Wait, hold on. Is it a Republican or Democrat doing it?
It's weird, right? It's weird because
yes.
They're saying that we're the Nazis.
Fascists. We're the fascists.
And yet it's always the left wing that they're using, hey, this person's sponsored by this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're speaking out. They're saying stuff that I don't want to hear. Hey, Adidas. Hey, Disney. Hey, so-and-so. They don't align with what I believe. We're going to pressure you. And then they're saying, well, I don't want to lose any more sales, so I guess we got to get rid of this guy.
Well, you mentioned Nazis a second ago. You know, we played that clip a couple rounds ago with the American flag at the Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
It was pulled down. Cops were assaulted. A police officer's hat was stolen, burned in the street, and filmed with a Palestinian flag right behind it at that same protest. You know what was there? A poster board of a swastika.
That's weird. It's weird.
But what happened to that?
I don't know. We didn't hear anything about that.
It was held up really high.
Huh.
People now, applauding.
Whose side was it? Was that like pro-Palestinians that were cheering on the swastika?
It was within the crowd with the Palestinian flags, with them saying tear it down, from river to the sea. And we've got... I've got so many liberal lunatics of the week.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you about this one. You probably saw the lady that I shared on social media. They asked her, they said, you know, she was a white lady holding the Palestinian flag. And she was talking about from the country to the sea. No, wait a second. That's not it. From the mountains to the sea. And the guy Feldman said, well, what? From the mountains to the sea? Well, what mountains?
Hmm.
Well, I don't know. He goes, you don't know. You don't know. What are you doing? But that is the Democrat Party of today. Before we get too far away from it, let's go back to Canada. What has been going on? And I know we've talked about it, like even off air. What the hell's happening? You had this race car. It looked like Dukes of Hazzard in a Bentley. Like you watch the video, it catches some airtime.
Yeah.
But even I've seen cars that have done that they don't explode.
No. Not, well, I mean, they can.
They can?
Yeah, it depends on, you know, if...
Is it a NASCAR?
No, I don't know. I guess it depends on, you know, if it lands on the fuel tank and sparks, and it could ignite. I've seen some cars blow up, but definitely not like they see on Hollywood, where, you know, a couple well-aimed gunshots will blow up a vehicle, you know? But it's funny that you say that, because as soon as that came out, they immediately... Without having any sources, any verification, they called it a terror attack. And they even found, guess what? A passport. Guess what country it came from? Iran. Kind of weird. Now you have this
Pennsylvania. Out of the car that exploded.
Not out of it, but nearby. They said they found a passport.
Just
an Iranian passport.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, takes you back to the passport they supposedly found at the site at 9/11. when the planes were disintegrated, the buildings were disintegrated, but yet this piece of paper just happened to make it through all that the fiery inferno.
Right.
But it's just kind of one of those things where it makes you kind of question yourself. Are we being lied to? Are we being told that we're being pointed now? All this bad stuff's happening, and Iran is the one that's behind it. Oh, this has been hacked, and hey, we got this cryptic thing saying, you've been hacked. I don't know. Something's kind of alerting me to say, yeah, something about this just doesn't seem right. The riots that I'm seeing now with all the, and it's always showing the pro-Palestinians are just, and now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm pro anything. I'm just saying stop. And just look at it and see,
I'm pro-life.
Is it verified? Exactly. I am. I'm pro-life as well. But do you kind of, the pro-Palestinian mobs that I'm seeing, it looks too much like the stuff I seen from January 6th. And we all know that the January 6th stuff was total BS. So I'm saying pump the brakes before we get in such a fervor and so angry and so fed up with all of this nonsense that we start crying out for more war. Let's stop and actually do the due diligence and look into it.
Well,
just,
I will say,
just ask yourself if they're actually the real enemy.
About what's happening in Gaza. And I remember this back in law school, which I was kind of blind to what was occurring overseas. And I took an international crimes course where it was even discussed that the terrorists, the anti-Israelis, the anti-Semitics were hiding in places like daycares and hospitals and having their weapons caches there. They were shooting missiles from these locations. And to me, when we started having these discussions back in law school about, well, why would they do that? And the professor's talking about, okay, if you strike back and you attack these individuals, you're going to be labeled as, okay, you hate babies, you hate the sick, you hate the elderly, you're killing them and you're targeting them, you're the bad guy. If you don't do anything, you won't be there that long to do it anymore. And then they're going to take over. So I do understand where I think there was a Democrat that came out this past week. I think it was somebody just as dumb as Cori Bush, but basically calling on
just as dumb,
calling on a ceasefire so they can relocate or redraw an area within Gaza where all of the people can go there. And be safe. That's a no fight zone, so to speak. Well, guess what? There was a ceasefire before Hamas broke it.
Yeah.
And again, this is what we've seen. And I'm just saying, based on all the evidence that I've seen, the testimony from people that were there, the people that have been kidnapped, the video testimony from the people that actually survived that day, that yes, it was the pro Hamas. Were they funded by Iran? More than likely, yes. But you know, in those situations, I'm not going to say, yeah, we're going to have another ceasefire because you're the ones that broke it in the first place. And we're not going to say, yeah, we're going to designate this area over here as a no-fire list, no-fly zone, so to speak, where you can do the same crap and have your weapons caches and your tunnels and everything there. I will say I do agree when it comes to second-guessing what we're being fed. Because, yeah, we were told, and even Pierre, I always butcher his name, he's the conservative leader in Canada. When the media tried to attack him and said, well, wait a second, what don't you think that you're wrong for jumping the gun and saying this was a terrorist attack? He said, look, I was in Parliament and said that the media is reporting this is what's going on. I didn't say I knew this for sure. I didn't say that one person is to blame. I'm saying there are media reports out now, and I'm trying to find the clip, but I think social media has deleted it. But he even calls out the media. He's like, I'm reporting what you reported. Did you jump the gun? Wait a second. So I do think that we need a fresh look at it, but are there any new developments with that? Because I've heard a lot of back and forth on social media about, well, there's more. We were told it was a terrorist attack, and then we were told, no, it was an old guy who had a medical emergency. Now we're being told that there's some other facts that may lead us to believe that it was terror-related.
They tried, I guess, to paint a certain narrative to it, mm-hmm. and nothing came of it. Kind of like the Vegas shooting. You don't hear about that anymore.
Oh.
It's almost like
I've got a guy. I've got a guy who is there.
Oh, man.
Trying to see if he will come forward and discuss some of the things that are not being reported. But a lot of the theories that you and I have discussed offline, I think it's going that route.
Yeah, it's being memory-holed. They tried it, didn't work. Oh, never mind.
You know, remember that. Body cam footage where they went into the hotel.
Oh, with the Vegas thing?
Yeah, and they claimed that the Vegas shooter guy was dead there. One of the guys even said, none of the windows
are
broken.
None of them.
Wait a second. We got his guns here. None of the windows are broken. What's going on with that?
Weird.
And why do you have to go basically to the basement of Google or any search engine to find this? And there are documentaries out. I have not watched it, so I'm not going to refer anybody to see it yet. That all of that body cam footage and all of the other things are leading people to believe that there were three different shooters that were there.
Multiple locations even.
Right.
There's when you it's almost like the beginning of these events, the first reportings, the news, they don't have any information except, hey, something big is going on. They get down there, they start talking to passerbyers, people that were there, they start getting all of this information, and they're reporting what they're, you know, being told. These, hey, the people that were there, the witnesses, this is. And then what happens is eventually all of this stuff should kind of full circle. And then we have a good explanation as to what really happened. But then all of a sudden, with all the people that were there that said, yeah, we had shooting at this location, shooting at that location, you know, Mandalay Bay and all these other spots, people in helicopters even firing on the crowd, the timelines of things, the sounds, all, people with cell phones recording everything. And it just, I think it got too messy. They couldn't fully make that narrative stick, and they just, all right, let's just get rid of it. And then, yeah, now all of a sudden the body cam footage is starting to really come out, and it's like, wait a minute, Stephen Paddock, he was supposedly broke out all these windows, took up a cache of guns and all this ammo.
All the way up there,
you know, and they got the video, and he even used an employee elevator. You know, you trying to tell me that it doesn't look suspicious, a guy carrying, you know, a dozen duffel bags in, and they're going to be, yeah, come on back here.
You walked the wrong way in Disney.
Yeah.
And you've got a whole horde of people coming at you. You walked the wrong way in Vegas. You've got a whole team of people coming at you. You just mentioned something about, you know, going away from something. I forget what it was, but it sparked my, and I'm looking up the article right now. It's on The Guardian. News breaking. December 2nd, this came out. And this is on The Guardian. It's actually reporting it live. So COP28. Don't know what the stands for. And I'm reading through here. It was day 3 on September the 2nd, where the U.S. is committing at this big global meeting to close all coal-fired power plants, I think, by the year 2028.
How does that make sense?
John Kerry's melting buttered-ass face
is
over there claiming that the U.S. is committing not only to closing all coal-fired power plants, but to move away from this type of energy, and also is labeling methane as a super pollutant.
He's an idiot.
No stuff.
What's powering these electrical grids that they're trying to put everybody on? It's all done by coal, by fossil fuels. What is going to power all of these? Now, we were talking a couple shows ago about now rolling brownouts in Missouri. Because
there's some brownouts in San Francisco, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to cover what the debate, I mean, what do you make of the debate between DeSantis, who's in a primary, Newsom, who is not in a primary at all, and claiming that neither one of them are going to be the leaders of their party coming up. So what do you make of that? We're going to discuss that, his poop map that he brought up, and why... Why do we have to be so divisive? Why do we have to say, hey, because we're on Team Trump, this guy sucks, we're going to be on Newsom's team? No, Newsom sucked.
Yeah.
He got his ass whooped to the point where his wife, allegedly, came out and threw in the flag. Join us around 5 and 6 here after the break, discussing all of the great people that you should do business with here on Newstick STL, SR1 Sundays. Keep fighting.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder. I feel so alone. Gonna end up a
big old pile of them bones. Welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, the they thems, the he she's, the memes, the simsers, whatever the hell mental illness you have, welcome back. Pull up a chair and listen to Lane. I'll tell you, we were talking over the break, but before I go too far, for those that are listening land, this is Phil. Get ready. Round 5. man, I just didn't appreciate them growing up. Did you hear Post Malone cover the song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we were down at caucus.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's a caucus! What's a caucus? It's caucus!
Dude, but like, honestly, one of the greatest performers.
Yeah.
One of the greatest bands, I think. I mean, you have to put them in the top 10 of like most underrated bands.
Yeah, I would say for that time, probably one of the most influential.
Absolutely. Because
it really did. Then,
you've got guys like Post Malone that are coming out saying, absolutely, hey, they were number one on my playlist.
The whole Seattle grunge thing. Mm-hmm. You had them, you had Soundgarden, you had Nirvana, you had Pearl Jam. Yeah, he is the number one vocalist of all time.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go do some karate in the garage. But yeah, but you talk about things you didn't really appreciate. Same thing with like Smashing Pumpkins. I didn't appreciate them as much.
Rat in a Cage, it's weird. Rat in a Cage, for some odd reason, because that really didn't fit like, and I had a weird genre of like music that I listened to, because I grew up with, you know, my parents who listened to the Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Mama's Pride, and all these great bands, even like the Beatles and other stuff that they had introduced me to. Then my dad gets off into introducing me to guys like Merle Haggard, George Jones. My grandparents introduced me to Hank Sr., while my dad's introducing me to Hank Jr., Jimmy Rogers, like the list goes on. Then I had brothers introducing me to, one set of brothers was introducing me to Boyz II Men, MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, NWA.
Yeah.
My other brother was introducing me to, you know, the list of Blind Melon to Metallica, Pantera. So my it was really weird. So Rat in a Cage was huge, but I didn't get into a lot of their other songs.
Yeah.
But now when you listen to them, you listen to Alice in Chains, you listen to these guys, we don't have music like that anymore.
No, I would say that my parents, they were born in the mid to late 50s. So they're right in the wheelhouse of when you really start to kind of hold on to the music. If you think about the music that you listen to right now, it takes you back to a specific point. Mm-hmm. And it's usually around high school age, just after high school, you know, maybe to like early 20s. And then after that, music feels like it tails away. Like they don't make it like it used to.
Hell no.
So our parents, I firmly believe, even though we have the great music that we grew up with, they had the best generation of music. I don't really think that
Do you think anybody's going to come out like,
of the closet,
well, if they do, they might be urine soaked with R. Kelly. But do you like think anybody's going to come, you know, in 50 years and be like, look, 2023, 2018, 20 whatever had some great music. Here it is. You can't compare when you hear this opening from George Jones. Nothing hits like this. Just wait. So, even the voice of Chris Cornell compared to the voice, it's different, but George Jones?
Has it been a year since the last time I've seen her? My God.
Like, I even remember when I was little, thinking like, this guy sounds like a dork. Like, he's got a terrible voice. And back at that time, I mean, I'm hearing different songs from Chris Cornell. Where you just, and I'm looking at the different songs where it's like, which one do I play to really focus on? I can't pick one to focus on.
The one that I've been hanging up on recently is Through the Window. It's
Chris Cornell?
Yeah, it's not one of his most popular songs, but just the guitar in it, the style and how he's singing.
As I was typing it in, it popped up to the window, to the wall. So that,
yes, definitely not that
to
one.
To the sweat drop down.
What? Yeah. But he has, I mean, such a unique set of pipes. He can five octave vocal range. Him and Freddie Mercury are like the only two people that I can think of that have that kind of range. Now there are people that can operate in three, four, and still just completely blow your mind, but you have to appreciate that level of talent, and the fact that they can cover so many different styles, which, I mean, Freddie Mercury did the same thing. He had so many different styles of his music, and yet it didn't matter what type and what style he did. I mean, he was a master at his craft.
For sure.
Yeah. I, you just, now that we're this age, we can really appreciate, especially the amount of times that I've tried to sing along with some of these songs. Ooh. And I'm like, I am terrible. That's why you don't hear me sing it on the radio.
You can hit some of those?
Yeah, usually if I'm in pain. That's about the only time I've hit some of them.
But the way that they made a career. Like, listen, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Dave Grohl when he was still with Nirvana, and they went into the studio, and the producer kind of gave them like a, hey, we just recorded this album with Soundgarden, and they played part of Super Unknown, some songs off of that album.
Nirvana?
Yeah, they were showing it to Nirvana, okay. And Dave Grohl was just like, holy cow, he was blown away by it.
Yeah.
Super Unknown was the, well, I take that back. It was Bad Motorfinger, I think, is. Ooh. That was the album that, because on, Road Rage, there were, mm-hmm, two songs. There was Rusty Cage, which is still my all-time favorite Soundgarden.
That was what I was looking, yeah, at right here.
So Rusty Cage and, what was the other, Outshined, was on Road Rage. And I remember playing that game on Sega, and yeah, I'm like, every time you get Pacific Coast Highway and one of them songs come on, and you're just like, oh, yeah, you just get in that zone, and you just, yeah, ride it, and I've loved it ever since then. But yeah, there's so many things that we've grown up with that we've appreciated. And now you look, I guarantee nobody in 50 years is going to say that 2023, 2018, that their music was the best. Because the first time they hear Pound Town, they're going to be like, nope, turn it.
Pound
turn
Town,
it.
My booty hole, bro. Yeah,
nobody is going to like or appreciate that.
No.
Except they're going to go, oh, they must have played this so people didn't listen to music anymore.
You know, Pee Wee Herman, when he did the
Tequila, I think it was.
Tequila.
Yeah.
That, I think, gets more respect,
yeah,
than Pound Town. Like, what is this world coming to? And let me play this clip, because this kind of goes in a little bit more detail of what we were just discussing on this COP 28. I've got a lot of questions, but it's the annual United Nations, get the quotes out, Climate Change Summit.
The Biden administration is spending $450 million to support green energy projects in current and former coal towns.
United States Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm says, quote, deploying clean energy projects on America's mine lands will unlock new opportunities for energy communities that have helped power our nation for generations.
Former West Virginia coal miner Bo Copley joins us now. Bo, thank you for being with us this morning. But do you really think this is the right way to save these coal towns? Because they're praising it.
Well, they're going to praise anything they do, including putting most of us out of work when they make a vow to end the fossil fuel industry. Obviously, they have to have something that they can say they're doing to make up for that. It's not going to replace all the jobs that we've probably lost already. But honestly, I will say any jobs that can come into this community or communities like the one that I live in, we're going to be happy for and excited for. It's just making sure that they follow through with that. And hopefully we can find a way to put enough people back to work that have been displaced.
Well, and talking about things that people are displaced, not things, but look at what happened in Granite City.
Yeah.
As you know, where, yeah, the Trump administration reopened, they made a commitment to making things in America once again. And all of these pricks that are on social media saying, Donald Trump didn't do that. Look, you're probably the same guy that was praising Bill Clinton for gas prices. And then when they started going up, they're like, well, wait a second, the president has no. Now, I remember this from elementary school. Mm. They don't have any say in gas prices. I mean, get your mind out of the gutter. The policies of an administration absolutely can contribute. And that's why the policies of administration, the Trump administration, reopened a closed steel plant in Granite City. There was a huge celebration. Even the Post disgrace, all of the local media in the St. Louis metropolitan area came out saying, man, this is awesome. We're putting people back at work. Well, guess what just happened this week? It's closing.
Yeah. What is it, like an indefinite hiatus that they're going on? Hundreds of people now are losing their jobs. What do you think is going to happen to those people when they lose their jobs? Do you think they're going to step into another job making the kind of money that they're making? What is going to happen to their pensions? Is, yeah, it going to – all of their livelihoods now have been just completely just shot, and at no warning – they have had no time to line up anything else for them. It's just, oh, yep, you're done. Sorry.
It's sad.
It is.
I mean, it's incredibly sad. And going back to the whole immigration issue, Josh Hawley, I'm going to give him the belt again. Common sense champ of the week. He's hitting the Biden administration with easy questions. Easy questions on, hey, this is what I'm hearing. What do you got to say about where our focus is going in our dollars being spent when it comes to immigration?
We've had multiple DHS whistleblowers who are special investigators within DHS come forward to my office and I think others and allege that they were pulled off of their assignments investigating child abuse, child trafficking, fentanyl. They were pulled off of that and sent to the southern border in order to perform, in their words, menial tasks.
Yes, sir. We do have a number of FPS officers that are supporting CBP at the southern border in two locations. And that's going on today. Our officers are transporting people to hospital appointments, to medical visits, to emergency rooms.
We've had multiple DHS.
Turkey. Bull turkey. I'm calling it right now. Bull turkey. They're bringing them to, you're taking people from the border and bringing them to the hospitals. Well, who the hell's bringing them to Chicago, to California, to New York, to all of these areas that are now going to be brought into St. Louis City, which are going to be in St. Louis County and into St. Charles County, which, by the way, I'm hearing that that resolution is going to be back up.
Well, good.
I think it's going to come back. And as soon as I know when the date it's going to come back up, we're going to announce it. We're going to be there. We're going to bring the crew, because there were pro-Hamas protesters that were there, not even St. Charles County residents. Hopefully they come back. Hopefully they'll come talk to us like they were talking down to the women that were there trying to intimidate them. But if you heard what the Biden administration just said, they're taking resources away from following traffickers, following human traffickers, drug traffickers. Maybe that's why we have human trafficking again in St. Charles County. And they're relocating them to do these asinine tasks. Well, here is a press conference that people in Chicago, we played a town hall that happened weeks ago. Well, they had a press conference of their own. There's two clips. If we have time, I'm going to get into both of them.
This morning, I heard Mayor Brandon Johnson say that the sentiment in the black community is waning. A lie. The sentiment is not waning. We are not okay with you taking our resources and giving them to people who don't live here. As Mark stated before, you are preparing housing for them. One of the reasons that the city of Chicago was able to close 50 schools was because of the black light. And the reason we had a black light was because there is no affordable housing in this city.
Wow. Here's another one.
Oh, yes, sir.
Black Americans. We're not African American. We're not people of color. We're not black and brown, minority, BIPOC, none of that. None of that. This is about our people demanding the resources, just as you're giving these people, these newcomers who are walking into this country.
He's talking about being American. This is something Alveda King has said loud and clear. You don't have color. You don't have any of this other culture clash and grouping into different, however they're going to divide us, whether it's sex, all of the different BIPOC, Latinx, all of that BS. You are an American and you are not providing the resources to Americans. And we're going to run out of time, but when we come back, I'm going to play a clip before we get into some of these bills that we pre-filed in December. That will actually, let me see. No, we're not going to have time, but there's a congressman who's going through all of the list of all of these asinine areas that our money's going into. So to me, it is a wake-up call to the Democrats. When you have individuals like the Black Lives leader founder in Rhode Island that is coming out to support not Joe Biden, not the Democrat Party, but talking about, no, wait a second, we're going to support Trump now? That is a huge wake-up call to America, I think. Finally, the people are standing, the people are fighting, and we're going to keep doing it in round six. Hope you're with us.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
Nothing seems to kill me. No matter how hard I try.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
Is this really how we want to be able to spend Americans' taxpayer dollars? We've set up a top 10 list that we listed out of some of the things that we just say. Okay, of the 50 different examples, and we don't try to go into every single spending area, but we lay out in the guide for federal fumbles 50 different examples and just try to ask the question, is this the best way to be able to spend America's dollars? And again, we've all got different perspectives and different ideas on it. I'm just asking a question. For instance, last year the State Department did a grant to Ecuador to host 12 drag shows in Ecuador with American tax dollars. Now, may have different opinions in this room on drag shows. I'm just asking the simple question, is the best use of American tax dollars to actually fund drag shows in Ecuador with US tax dollars? I don't believe that it is. Last year, we actually did a different funding through the State Department that was actually done. Actually, this was the National Science Foundation. Excuse me, strike that. It seems like a State Department thing. National Science Foundation last year did a study of butterflies in Europe. So we funded with American taxpayer dollars a butterfly study in Germany where we paid a Swedish scientist to study butterflies in Germany.
Welcome back to the last and final round here where we're knocking the liberal lunacy out of the park. I am Nick Schroer. We've got Eric Michael with all of his pretzels and beer.
It's like a nice delicious.
Delicious to my mouth. But that was Senator Langford, and he's got a laundry list of things that we're spending money on, and it pisses me off. You remember the I think it was to Syria, the gender
The studies. Gender studies, yeah. It was like $100,000 of my, you know, tax money.
What are we
not
doing?
Just mine, but yeah.
What are we doing?
They're laundering money. That's what they're doing.
And it's not even the crap that's happening nationally. It's the stuff that we even heard and we spoke about with Senator Onder, who hopefully will be announcing a bid for lieutenant governor soon, of individuals that are misappropriating money, putting it in their private accounts after they've gone to places like Hawaii.
Yeah.
Now, and I'll tell you right now, I went to an ALA conference in Arizona, and we used campaign funds because it's a campaign-related event where you go to the American Legislative Exchange Council with other like-minded legislators. There are some mostly Republicans, some independents, some Democrats. They used to have, Tim Jones was telling us about when he was Speaker of the House, actually had a handful of Democrats that would go that were pro-life, fiscally conservative. But those are way far in the past. But suddenly you've got the Democrats that are afraid of this. They're afraid of Republicans getting together with other legislators talking about, hey, this worked in our state. For example, the heartbeat bill. We've had legislators in the past asking us, how did you get that done? Look at the legal jurisprudence that you discussed in your bill. What can we do to move the ball in the pro-life movement? The last one that I was at, not this one in Arizona, what did we do with veterans? This is in Orlando that I went to. What are we doing with veterans when they come back? If they get in trouble, how can we help them rather than just incarcerating them instead of getting them the help that we promised as the government? So a lot of really good things that ALEC does. And for some reason, the Democrats are deadly afraid of them and are trying to smear them like none other. So, yeah, instead of asking for your taxpayer dollars to pay for my time to go to these conferences – and other legislators, we had I think we were in the top five. Missouri was in the top five of the biggest delegations sending the most legislators to this place because we're in trouble here in the state of Missouri. We've got a massive amount of Republicans that don't act Republican. What have we gotten done? And it's all because of the infighting. It's all because of the pity parties that the leadership has, the infighting with the Republican Party. The list goes on. So hopefully now with this massive majority, we can do something with it. And December 1st, as I said before, December 1st was the kickoff of pre-filing. And I've said it here before, some of the bills that I am moving forward are going to be the big issue of crime in the city of St. Louis. We heard here recently that the same group of leadership in the city of St. Louis that controls the management or mismanagement of the city police forgot to actually collect the sales tax on the legal marijuana sales. Now, here recently, there was a member of the mayor's violence prevention team. It's a city employee on the mayor's violence prevention team that has actually been arrested for selling fentanyl.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is another reason why I, among many reasons, why I have filed a bill to take back control and put it in the hands of actual city leaders on a board. So some of the other bills that I filed, APRN reform, advanced practice, registered nurse reform, all of the states around us are allowing these APRNs to practice. You know, the same APRNs that we all see on a daily basis that are dealing with our healthcare, that in other states they can practice to the fullest extent of their education. Well, we want to be one of those states too, because after you graduate here in the state of Missouri, and you're even taught in schools, hey, all these other states, you can do this. We're gonna train you on that. But here in the state of Missouri, you got handcuffs that date back 50, 60, 70 years. We got a little bit of that bill done last year, something that hadn't been done in 70 years. Another bill that we've been trying to get done is defunding Planned Parenthood, the murder mill of your tax dollars. If you want to go to Planned Parenthood, that's fine. But we know, and we've had in different hearings, that they are funneling money back and forth between their Illinois offices and other offices that are still partaking in abortion. And now they're funneling money, your taxpayer dollars, funneling money into these ballot initiatives where they're trying to get your signatures on something where they say, oh, no, wait a second, this is all related to women's health care. If they ask you that to sign on the dotted line, ask to see the bill. Ask to see what they're saying is going to be on the ballot, because they will not show you the full text, which you can find on the Secretary of State's website. And that's why we need to defund them of our tax dollars, because they're trying to push abortion on demand, get rid of all of the pro-life bills, the late-term abortion bans, the experiments that they're doing on aborted babies and selling those aborted body parts. They're trying to repeal all of that, and they're lying to you. So initiative petition reform, that's another one that we're trying to get through. Aggravated fleeing. Aggravated fleeing is another one that myself and a Democrat of all, Tracy McCreary, a Democrat from St. Louis County, are coming forth and dealing with that, increasing the criminal penalties when you are fleeing. You're going to get pulled over and you flee. There have been officers and civilians that have actually been killed by these individuals. And there's many other bills that we've been dealing with. But let's take, for example, and I'm going to go back to the Missouri Senate. You can go to senate.mo.gov, and in the House, you can go to house.mo.gov, and you can find out what legislation has been filed. Would you like to hear what some of these bills are?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, list of 2024. You can go to legislation. First one is Senator Hoskins relating to election crimes. I know since he's running for Secretary of State, he's been one that is zeroing in on different offenses of what we hear in the news all the time of acting like you're a dead person or voting several different times. It's going to be curious, because these bills as of today are not up where we can actually see the legislation. We can see the title. Then his next bill is relating to property taxes. I know Senator Hoskins and Senator Igel and myself are going after, and I think there's several other Republicans that are going after property taxes. And then we have the last one relating to gender transition. Remember last year where we had that bill where we stopped the experiments that were happening on kids? There's a sunset on that. So if we don't go back and remove that sunset, then it becomes the law of the land where they can actually partake in this. Now, the language that I put in that bill that allowed for the lawsuits to occur, that is still, I firmly believe that is still, whether we remove that sunset or not, and I pray to God that we do remove that sunset, I think that that's going to have a deterrent effect, and it has already, because now you have the hospitals around here saying, we're not doing it anymore. We're packing up, we're moving. Then you have education reform from Senator Koenig. That's another massive bill that I have filed this year. Senator Koenig has one as well. Go down the list. Let's look at what some of, like Senator Rowden, who's the head of the Senate, has a bill relating to crime prevention and control programs relating to protection of data and concealed carry permits. I'm going to be very curious to see what he's going to have filed here, as he's running for higher office as well. Then you get to Senator Igel, who's running for governor of the state of Missouri against Secretary of State Ashcroft, Lieutenant Governor Kehoe. His very first bill out of the gate is getting rid of personal property taxes. So that is going to be a battle we're going to see on the floor. Eric's over here cheering. Let's see what some of the Democrats are going to file. Senator Arthur, relating to tax credits for child care, relating to state funding for early childhood education program, relating to child custody. You have, Carla May, Senator May, relating to the critical incident stress management program. So you can see the list here. Senator Williams relating to expungement. And I've worked great with Senator Williams on a lot of common sense crime issues relating to fire protection districts, relating to conviction review units. So I think you've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. As the week goes on and next week, we're going to be zeroing in and looking at some of these bills. We can come back and have our good, the bad, and the ugly. We can have the best and the worst. But before we get too far, I do want to give out another award. And this isn't an award that we give out just sparingly. You know, every week we come in and we pick the best of the best when it comes to the biggest dumbass that we have found on on social media or in the world of politics. And she hasn't gotten it in quite some time. So we looked at her record and you know what? We got to give it back to Karine Jean-Pierre.
Why do you think it is that when you say the economy is improving and President Biden says the economy is improving, that a majority of Americans outside of this building are not buying it?
So here's the thing. When we walked into this administration, the economy was on a tailspin. That is the fact. Because of the last administration, because of the Trump administration, and we understand what Americans have been feeling over the last 2-3 years. It's going to take some time. We get that. It's going to take some time, but it does not take away how we have seen the economy getting back on its feet.
All right, my man. All right, I saw them eyes. I saw them eyes in the clenched jaw. What is your reaction to the liberal lunatic of the week blaming all the bad on Trump and saying, well, wait a second, we're going in the right direction. Everything's good. I mean, we feel what you're going through, and it's going in the right direction.
The entire country was shut down because of COVID. So everything that happens after COVID, you were already at the basement. So everything, you know, the only way to look is up. They're literally taking credit for sabotaging the entire United States, the entire global economy, all these countries that shut everything down and let all these big box stores stay open. Rob Carter was talking about it being the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. You know, all these people, they lost their livelihoods. These job numbers that he's bragging about, these are people going back to work. These added numbers of, there's just people getting second and third jobs because the Bidenomics are hitting them so hard. These aren't successes. This is it's almost like it's leading them back to, you know, the house that's just on fire. So for her to just sit there and say, well, we're a success. This administration is doing so
great
well.
Success.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, that's crazy because I'm spending like $1,200 to $1,400 a month now on groceries.
Well, even Fox 2
that's
News.
A mortgage.
Fox 2 locally came out. And I applaud them for this. They say you need up to $15,000 more today.
Yeah.
More today to just live like you did in 2021.
That's insane. And, you know, they're demonizing everything, you know, the way of life that we had, everything that was working. They're making it like that's bad. So we have to just burn it all to the ground and start over and then make it sound like, you know, just they're creating the problem, waiting for the reaction, and they are offering the solution. And then they're taking the credit while they're the ones that are benefiting from all of this. Yeah. Not us. Not me. I'm going to work.
Yeah, how are you feeling in your pocketbook compared to the Trump administration before COVID to now?
When we were with – so I left the construction industry when Obama was in office. I made more money just helping people, just doing random little odd jobs here and there, you know, and saw that these people were making so much more money. And I found out my family was growing. I went ahead. I got back into it. And my income doubled just getting back into that workforce. And now all of a sudden that money that I'm making, I mean, I'm technically I'm making, you know, a lot more, but guess what? It's not going very far because now all of a sudden everything costs much more.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, pay the people at McDonald's $15 an hour to get my order wrong every time.
Well, so. And another guy, you saying that reminded me, a guy that I got in an Uber with to go to the airport to the ALA conference was reminding me that the White Castle in O'Fallon is all robots. So I'm going to have to visit that, get a Crave case for everybody the next time I'm there. But stick with us these next couple weeks. We're going to be digging into what legislation has been filed once we see it. If you see anything that's out there, hopefully you can call in as we're going to be going with a new number. We're going to be kicking out with a new studio at News Talk STL. But let's stand. Let's fight. Let's make this country great again.
With parts made in Japan.
Is SR1.